Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Really mean it in light of how we think and behave.
Assalamu alaikum. That is God's peace be upon you. And welcome to another version or another episode of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. We appreciate you joining us. And some interesting events that have taken place in my life on this week. Hopefully I'll be able to attend the Jummah prayer. That always helps to strengthen me. And as I was coming on air, I thought about how much I appreciate what Almighty God, Allah, has done for me and leading me to a place of, in the journey, I haven't really thought about it. As I was doing what I do on air, I hadn't even thought about that. I've been doing this sort of thing. I started with it half an hour when I joined the Ministers Alliance in Noonan, Georgia, back in 1979, and I found out that they had a rotation of 1 half-hour for the ministers on the local radio station. And so I've mentioned it in different contexts, but I hadn't really thought about that as I was moving in this particular focus in terms of on-air communication and learning about the nature of communication on the job, on the OJT, on the job training. So we're looking for our guest, God willing, Imam Ronald B. Shaheed, the publisher of books on commentary, tafsir, reflections of Imam W.D. Muhammad, the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And it's always inspiring when I talk with him, and I love to share the mic with him. Because he always, in the conversation, as the conversation goes along, something will be said. And he said, well, when I was with Imam Warasdeen Muhammad, and I love that so much to hear him relate his particular association with Imam Warasdeen Muhammad. And I used to love that about Imam Qasim Ahmed. And I have kind of, I have not had the kind of connection with Imam Warasdeen Muhammad that they have. But I have a dear friend and colleague in Birmingham, Alabama, my friend Kareem Muhammad Abdullah, better known as Muhammad Abdullah. And he was doing the radio broadcast. He would travel to where Imam Warasdeen Muhammad would be giving a public lecture, and he would record the public lecture and then get it ready for of Imam W.D. Muhammad over various radio stations across the country and in Bermuda and perhaps some other places. But he would send out the this after putting the lecture on CD, he would mail them out to various locations. And I had an opportunity to travel with him. And by way of, I'm going to excuse my countryness, by way of toting his bags for him, I would be able to get into certain areas in proximity to Imam Muhammad, one that stood out where we were in, it was on the Florida Georgia line. I can't think of the name of the city now. But the meeting was set up by Imam Bilal, who was a former Marine, and he was very enthusiastic in terms of setting up venues for Imam Muhammad to lecture, to share his insights into the Quran, the life of Prophet Muhammad, insights into the nature and structure of how the social world is operating, insights into meanings, expanded meanings of scripture. And I was reading one. I may share. There was one that I started on another occasion on while waiting for Imam Ronald Shahid joining us. He said he had a meeting prior to, and I said, well, don't worry about it. If you're not able to make it, he said it shouldn't be too long. And it was a couple of hours ago that it was supposed to start. He said it wouldn't be too long and that he would join us. And I told him, well, if you're not unable to do it, we'll just open the mics, because I love to open up the mics and have the callers share the mic and share their thoughts. But I'm going to read a little of this Imam W.D. Muhammad on community. And the heading is, community must have leaders inspired and helped by God. And it begins, I told Imam Darnell Kareem something once after he said to me, I'm surprised that you really recite and speak the Arabic so well. I said, Darnell Kareem, I never got out of school. I never stopped studying. Most of the students, when they stopped in the school and the classes were over, they put the studies down. I never put the studies down, never. I'm very busy now. I wish I had more time. You will be a student of Al-Islam forever. You will be a student of Quran forever. You never learn it all. The more you study, the more you get out of it, the more you will see in it, and the more beauty you will get out of it. And if you are sincere in your spirit, God will help you find things and show you things. I know that from personal experience. And I'm Michael Hameen. I'm a witness as well. I know it from learned things. Pardon me. I know it from learned religious persons who have said those things and wrote books on it. God will be right with you, helping you, and he will give you in his own time what you could never get on your own without him. I know that. So I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that some of you will earn Allah's blessings or have already earned it. You don't know. Maybe there's one or two of you sitting right here who has already earned the love of God, and he's going to work with you and show you things that you can't find by yourself. That is what I hope we will have. This community must have leaders who are inspired and helped by God. If you're just a student, that's not good enough to be the leader of this community. You have to be loved by God, and he has to be with you and inspire you. Then you can be a leader of this community. Any religious community that really knows God and his ways, they will recognize you. They will respect you and will love you. Praise be to Allah. More of this kind of insight from Imam Muhammad is needed to be spread around the everyday folks. The common man and woman needs to hear this, because selecting leadership and following leadership, like many other activities, is relatively new to us African Americans. It's relatively new. The choices that we make as a group in governance or politics. I watched in Birmingham when I moved to Birmingham. I attended the city council meetings and other meetings, and I noticed how what my friend Richard Finley called the Negro managers who were running for office and managing other people's interests, I noticed how they would come into the churches, because I would visit churches. They come into the church praising the Lord and quoting Bible verses, seeking their vote, and they were very animated, you know, church folks, and they were very convincing in terms of getting the vote of people. And then, because I was there for a while, I noticed how after they got the vote, then they would turn their attention to Caucasian business interests. And like my friend Richard called them, he said, Richard Finley, he said, they were Negro managers, you know, they, and, but I understood the dynamics, because if you didn't follow the line of those who really, who support that you really needed, they would find another candidate, another Negro manager who was the same, that held the line, that would hold the line. And praise be to Allah. I'm going to continue. There's a question here. Do you think the Muslim youth should contribute as much time in Al-Islam and Islamic duties as the elders, Imam Muhammad? Do I think the Muslim youth should contribute as much time to Al-Islam community in Islam as the elders? Should they do dawah? You know, I guess he's asking for clarity. Should they do dawah is the question. The hitting is most elders not doing this work. Imam W.D. Muhammad, like the elders, and it's in the form of a question, like the elders, okay, that's a good question. Most of the persons you call the elders are not doing this work. Only a few of them are doing this work. I think we must have youngsters, teenagers coming forward, being invited, first of all, to come forward and carry on the work that I'm doing, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam had us come forward to carry on that work. That is why we are here. You would not have this if it was not for some of us coming forward. If you don't come forward, we will not have this. We will have something else. Those who don't know what this is all about will be carrying this work, and those who have something else in mind would be carrying this work. We will lose it. Hitting, we're obligated to deposit what we have in those who will outlive us. And this is one of the particular points that I wanted to share, not just in this venue, but in other venues. We are obligated to deposit what we have in those who will outlive us, and you should be obligated to learn it. Some of you should feel an obligation on yourself. If you love God, you love this religion and the prophet of this religion, to learn what we have so that you can carry it on as we are doing, and so that you will be able to do what we are doing and improve upon it in the future. Al-Islam is always ready to advance us and to make us better. I don't care how much we do in our lifetime. We want to see youngsters inherit our works and do better and do more. That is what we want. So yes, I think you all should be as much involved as the grown-ups and the old folks in this community. You should be as much involved as they are. Under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and this is not just the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's Nation of Islam. I mention that because that is our past experience. We are aware of what happened in the past. I have visited ethnic Muslim communities in different parts of the world. I have visited their schools and have seen their youngsters in elementary school, preschool, and high school. I have seen their college students, and I have been invited to address their students. They have youngsters preparing themselves to step right into the positions of the leadership. They are not having old men with the knowledge dying off and not having youngsters getting that knowledge while those old men are still living. This is so important because we see in many areas of African-American life, leaders are reluctant to prepare those who are younger and who will have more time on this earth, preparing leadership to come behind them. And there may be a number, but this is not the way that progressive ethnic groups or progressive groups, the way they function. They know that this obligation, and the obligation is what God says, God Most High says in the Quran, your own self obligates you. And so this is very timely. This is one of the critical issues, in my opinion, that we have to look to and share with other folks. But on a number of occasions, Imam Muhammad shared this sentiment that we have to have youngsters and we have to have young people prepared not only to take our interests forward, but to find they need to find what's called the best practices. You know, in the professional world, in the world of economics and the like, organizations look for those who are most skillful in their own organization, and they also look outside of their organization for talent. And they look for those who are applying what they call best practices. Those who are applying best practices. We continue. And then, I invite you while I'm reading to press 1 to share what you see and to share what you think and even to share what you're doing. This is very important. That whatever part of the country that you're from, whatever state that you're living in, you know, to let us know a little of what you're involved in. So this line continues. Imam Kuftaro, he's passed now, God forgiven his sins and grant him paradise. Imam Kuftaro, the Grand Mufti of Syria, is an old man. Now we said he's passed. He must be 80 years old. He's had bad physical problems for a long time with his legs. He can hardly walk. In fact, I walked with him many times with him leaning on me. He has a cane and he leaned on me and he is much older than I am. But every week he goes out and he addresses his students the believers, men and women, also. I saw when I was there that he addressed them, and he meets privately at home and other places with those who are interested in Abu Nur Mosque, and they are all excited about the meeting with him. And this is I'm going to pause here. This is why, and inshallah, he'll be joining us soon. This is why it's so important to hear from Imam Ronald B. Shaheed, who's written a number of books on the commentary and insights of Imam Muhammad. And that came about by way of near the last 2 or 3 years of Imam Muhammad's life. He would meet with Imam Ronald B. Shaheed, Brother Morocco, Brother Imam, whenever I'm trying to be brief, my mind gets to racing. When I'm trying to be concise, Imam Ghani, Abdul Ghani of Milwaukee, they met on a regular basis, most of the time on Thursdays, and they would come into the Imam Muhammad's home. Sometimes they would go out to even fast food joints, maybe I'm going to say Burger King, because I was able to some years before that, a number of us were with Imam Muhammad on the campus of Tuskegee University, and we took a break and we went to Burger King. So they would go to, you know, fast food restaurants occasionally, but they would often meet in Imam Muhammad's home. And he invited them to bring their tape recorders to record information that he did not want to be lost. Some venues, like the public addresses, even his meeting with groups of imams, he did not feel it was sufficient. The Ramadan sessions were very special. And I recall one where he just came right out and said, "There's so much I want to give to you, but I'm feeling," he didn't say feeling, "there are those of you in the audience that are not deserving of it." You know, he had a sense. You know, many speakers and those who make public addresses, oftentimes they will develop a sense of the audience that they're in. You know, some people are very sensitive to the different kinds of energies being projected by people and audiences. So Imam said that at a Ramadan session, but he found it necessary. His soul did not want to leave much of what Allah had blessed him with, to leave that on the table, so to speak, to leave this earth and not having shared much of what Almighty God had given him. And many of us feel, you know, the Imam left us too soon. But as he was on time in this life, you know, Allah decreed that he should leave this physical life. And he told us, I don't know what the time frame was, but he told the audiences that he hoped that we would make a good future for him. And I took that in terms of the committed. Like this particular meeting that I'm sharing, that I've shared some of it with you, this particular meeting, focuses on community. And this particular meeting is expressing the need for us to feel the obligation to share this with younger, those who will outlive us, to share what we've been given. And what my friend, Dr. Hamid El-Amin, he coined the phrase, the Imam has left us documented institutional memory, volumes, page upon page, thousands of pages that has been recorded, you know, that's transcribed and recorded, like what I'm reading to you now. The Imam has left this for us to build community life, to build the life of the individual. We have a caller. Welcome, caller. State your name and where you're calling from.
It's Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia.
As-salamu alaykum.
When we follow some of the one, we need to remember that we are being blessed by Allah to be able to review our worship to Him, our personal life, and the lives of each other that we have seen over the years, you know, and especially review the life of Imam Waqi Muhammad to see, has it made us come alive? You know, has it made us really hear and obey what Allah permitted for him to on our level? He was already an established creation, had an assignment from Allah to do as his service. And he was sharing that responsibility to us. Now, as a in 2023, look, all of us, every scholar, all of our Imams, all of us as individuals, how can we really go every day and not do what Allah told us in the Quran, in the example of Prophet Muhammad, in all of the mujaddids to what I feel, and no doubt, I have no doubt in my mind about it. I believe that Imam Muhammad, without a doubt, was Allah's mujaddid for us to get an opportunity to come back to proper worship, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, we're not dumb. We're very intelligent. But we're as being a soldier, like we started out calling ourselves, you know, we've been marking time ever since the Honorable Elijah Muhammad prepared us for the leadership of whoever Allah sent. Though he to know that his son, sincerity, his son's dedication to want to see the hereafter and everyone that he knew or come into knowing, be he a Muslim, be he a family, whatever, have the opportunity to see the hereafter, especially if that is his
now Muhammad. I feel I should interject this because the Imam was very much aware of this focus on the final end, you know, the Muslim end. Prophet Muhammad, be upon him, he said that he was concerned that so many of his followers would be so concerned with trying to get to paradise that they would not see that the book was inviting the Muslims with the guidance to make their future, make tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow a better day, and a part of this idea of heaven, paradise, you know, to improve the lot of themselves and those around them in their community. And I think that's another critical issue that we need to pay attention to. You know, we're not going to get to heaven. And in fact, you may have said it this way. You won't get to heaven unless you show something of what you've done in this world. You have to have I'm going to put it this way. You have to have a passport, you know. You have to have done some service to Allah's will and plan in this life in order to see the broader reward in the afterlife. Go ahead, Muhammad. Muhammad, I'm sorry.
Sir.
I'm looking at the time, and let's take this community service promotion, and then we'll be back with you. Just stay tuned.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the community-wide sugar conference, and AM360 in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Afar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360, inviting you to join us every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. for Narrative Aspiration. Believe. Believe in yourself and you will find a creative innovation that will ease your mind. Educate yourself. What path will you take? Will you be wise in the decisions you make? Set your standards high. Don't settle for less. You have the power to be the best. You will succeed. You have what it takes. Make your intentions and step out on faith. Knowledge is power. Wisdom supreme. Success inevitable with a well-balanced routine. Exercise, eat healthy, keep your mind and body pure. You will be amazed at what you endure. Be assertive when it comes to your life, because no one else will do it just right. Unlock the door. You have the keys in yourself. You must believe. Join us again for Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah. And we're back with more of Not Just Talk, and we have Brother Muhammad by way of the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad in Columbus, Georgia?
Yes, sir.
Santa. Okay. Right, if you'll continue, but I want you to know we have another caller in the queue. Okay, we lost him. His call dropped. So we're going to bring our poet laureate, if you'll introduce yourself. Welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Juma Mubarak, everybody. And Allahu Akbar. We thank Allah for being our creator and our character and sustainer. Because we know this world here has given us a concept of God having a son and all kind of other foolishness that go along with that to cover up their lives and their deceit for people they had enslaved and done some serious injustice to. So praise be to Allah for Prophet Muhammad and for all the workers in Allah's cause. Now, what I want to do now, I'm going to read something. It's kind of like I want to start something here. Put our mind in certain arena right now, and then later on we'll come and read something else. But I want to read this right here. This is from a book called Myth in Scripture and Religion. And this is the mythology concept, the burden on America in the West by Imam Walter D. Muhammad, and edited by Ronald B. Shaheed. And he talked about direction. This is some of the direction Imam Muhammad left for us. So this is something I want to see right now to get us started. Thank God for woman. Woman by nature stick to nature more than they stick to men. God has given them that nature. They are waiting on the preacher to wake up. They are waiting on the rabbi to wake up. Yeah, we don't need man to wake up. Women are patient and are going to hold to reality. They won't even tell us all that is going on their minds because they don't want to hurt man's feelings. I know them. I appreciate them, and I thank God for women. But the man of the field, his nature belongs to the field, the woods, or the next town, where there is opportunity to get work and bring something back to his sweetie. So his life is already orientated to the outside. The women's life is orientated to the birthplace, the cradle, the foundation of life. So what happened to him? He goes out there and gets beat up by the world of Shaitan. He gets beaten up so badly that he does not know how to get back home sometime, and they say another one bites the dust. Mm. You know, Shaitan put out a woman, put the woman in a bad light. So it seems to me that it'd be justified that women have a good place as far as good in this world is concerned.
Yes.
And then the man should, as men, we should go ahead on and put ourselves in a position to make sure that our daughters, our wives, granddaughters, that they have a good day waiting for them. So we'll be part of what I could say God's will and plan for a man and woman.
Yes.
It's a different arena. You see, a woman who studies his man, you know, his men around her in that environment is something she's looking for. And many times she's not getting that. So she feels a certain way about interaction with us. Then she see how the society portray her as a prostitute for their commercials on TV and all kind of foolishness. And that, believe me, that woman has to be very, very strong to hold her feelings because she want to reach out. So sometimes when our wife or our daughter something reach out at us, think about that. She's reaching out for a reason. It's something we have for her that we not giving to her or we not giving to them. So praise be to Allah. I just was ad-libbing a little bit. But that what I first read, that was the man Muhammad has said, and alhamdulillah, I wanted to share that. So, Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. I appreciate you, Bilal, for sharing that. That's a lot of food for thought. And the Imam has spoken out on mother leadership, spoken out on the woman, and we thank Allah for you sharing not only from the book that you were referencing. I asked Imam Ronald Shaheed, what does he still have in stock? And he told me that he's going to be restocking a number of books, but he does have the mythological, the book on the mythology, book on Follow the Leader, Islam and American Democracy, the book dealing with racism and reconciliation, and he has some of the Thoughts for Searchers, the first book that he wrote. And so we're going to be giving his phone number out where you can call. He no longer has the website. He said he wasn't getting enough hits on the website to justify it. So you can, he's given his phone number. And if you get your pen and paper ready, he's given his phone number for us to call, leave a message on his voice machine, voicemail, and he will call you back and get your order. His phone number is 414-349-2278. 414-349-2278. 1-800-273-2278. And we're going to go to the caller here. I recognize this number. Welcome, caller. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, this is Muhammad Sharif. You call from Malvern, New York. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Michael.
Alaikum, alaikum, assalam. Welcome. What you got for us, yes, my friend?
Oh, yes. Yeah, Blair was just speaking about the woman.
Yes.
Did y'all get the book yet? Mother of the Nation, Clara Evans Muhammad, wife of Elijah Muhammad, mother of Imam Debedin Muhammad. This book about Dr. Ara Zakia Muhammad. It's two books, book one and book two.
Ara Zakia Muhammad?
Yes. Right.
Okay,
Dr. Ara Zakia Muhammad.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
I think I have the first volume, and I've got to get the second one. But yes, it's interesting. It's interesting her commitment. You know, you
mm-hmm.
don't meet many women. You don't meet many women like her. In fact, the shaitan has been working to make sure you don't meet many women like her, in my opinion.
That's right.
You know, you got this environment that the devil and his folks have created, you know, of looking at your individual happiness. I'm not happy. And you hear it from both men and women, but particularly from many women that I've been in contact with. I'm just not happy. I'm not happy. Rather than, but the imam was aware that we had women in our association that were committed to dig into what he was willing to share rather than just following after it. You know, they wanted to understand what the imam was sharing. And I appreciate you presenting that book. I always appreciate what you offer, and we appreciate the commitment that you have in terms of advertising on AM360.org with the Rain International, and we appreciate that. And I always want to make sure that I play your public service invitation to support and be a part of Rain International and its health and wealth producing qualities. So yes, sir.
I appreciate you for playing that advertisement for me. I appreciate it.
Well, that's what it's there for. It's there to be played, isn't it?
Yeah, man.
But listen, we've got another caller. We got two other callers. But we appreciate you. Press one to go out, and you're welcome to come back in before we end the program around 9:30, or we may take a little overtime depending on what the interest is. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Right. Assalamu alaikum. 636. I know this number. Welcome. Come in and introduce yourself, Imam.
Yes. I'm Kareem Hamid, calling in from St. Louis, Missouri. And all praise to Almighty God. Wa alaikum as-salam. Peace be unto you.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. Praise be to Allah. I bear witness there's no God save Allah alone, and that there's nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God, Allah. One of the reasons establishing the study session of the addresses and lectures of Imam Wahid Muhammad that we hold every Saturday morning here on America Muslim 360 on the broadcast,
yes,
The Evolution of Revolutionary Thought and Created a Purpose. You know, I have heard of people identify that broadcast, and they say, yeah, Imam Kareem plays the commentary of Imam Wahid Muhammad. And that's just how it's left, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm consistently saying these are study sessions. These are not just listening sessions. You know, I'm quite sure we have selections in our homes that we play. But sometimes they can be just like just background noise or elevator music. If the time has not been set aside to truly study mm-hmm. in depth the commentary of Imam Wahid Muhammad, and especially in a group setting, because we have different ideas, different perspectives, different insights.
I agree.
So that's one of the reasoning for it's not just of just he plays Imam Wahid Muhammad. You know, come now. I don't know how much plainer I can make it, how much clearer I can state it, you know, that these are not just listening sessions. And that's why we'll reach certain points in an address, and we'll pause that address. And really go into what principle has been stated, and so that we get a clearer, deeper understanding. That's one of the purposes of trying to create a study session. So that's my contribution to the commentary of Imam Wahid. I don't just play his tapes. I invite people to bring your thinking caps, bring pencil and paper with you, and share what Allah bless you with from out of the address or lecture. So anyway,
Kareem Hameed, I agree so much with you, and sometimes it's a little irritating, but people don't know. Then I stop and look at it this way. People just don't know the blessing that they're missing in terms of increasing their understanding, increasing their utility of what we've been given. And when I first got this this lecture dealing with the community life, and I read most of the persons that are called elders are not doing this work. That was like an eye-opener to me, you know. And then I stopped and thought, okay. First I said, that's not good. But it is good because Allah is taking those that are open and to his service. He's helping them. And in truth, it's been said that the progress of the human family is never done by the many. It's always the few. So if you're in the few to any length of activity, you are really blessed. And I'm speaking of us who are associated with the Imam Muhammad, who call ourselves followers of the Imam. And then I looked again at another perspective. You know, this was a case when the Imam came in. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a committed core group of followers, but there were many that were just not, they were there. And by virtue of those numbers, you know, they were there, but they were not active or as active. But those numbers meant something to those people who look at numbers. And it meant something to us to have, group individuals identifying with Imam W.D. Muhammad, but with the understanding we're coming into that it's the few that are really active. And he's asking the few in this lecture on community, he's asking the few to share with those who are going to outlive us. Those who are younger with us, share our enthusiasm, share what we offer in terms of helping them to serve this community focus. And by virtue of that, you know, and we'll pray that those who will outlive us will be more engaged, will be more able to improve upon the service and commitment and the like. They'll come up with information on how to promote this community life focus better than we've done. Any final comments?
Yes. You know, early on in the Imam's leadership, for a long time, excuse me, people were quoting Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes they would say exactly what he said, and sometimes they would say something that he had not said, you know.
That's true, that's true.
But if we're going to be effective, we have to go beyond just quoting. If you wanted to shut an argument, a debate down in the early years, all you had to say was, Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad said. And no one would tell, whether he said it or not, whether it was understood or not, that's supposed to shut down debate. But it goes a step further than just quoting. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you?
Yeah.
What does that mean to you? How will you implement that? How can you put that into practice in your personal and community lives? You know.
Yes.
I've adopted this strategy on some broadcast that I'm on. I'll give the principle, and won't give the source, because the principle is more important than the source.
Yes.
You know, I'll say things, and if you are a student of the Quran and stuff, you say, "Yep, I know where Kareem is going with that."
Yeah.
I hear where he's drawing that from. So that's what we have to get more into, not just quoting verbatim, but actually expanding on what we've been given. Imam Muhammad said that knowledge should be alive. He said, I want you to carry this beyond what I gave you. It extends, but you can only
That's right.
when you understand the basic principle. So that's one of the reasons for having the study session, and that's why you hear me say, when I'm asking for participation, share what Allah has blessed you with from out of this
that's
address
right.
and message. And no one can tell me, well, that they can say it, but I know you got something. The value of what has been said, I know you got something. But we have a shyness, a tendency
That's
to
true.
Not get involved. You know, you know, we got to come out of that. We have to be aggressive in this work. We do. This isn't a work for a shy person or one that's introverted.
Yeah.
So anyway,
thank you. Thank you. We press one and mm-hmm. come back if you like to share more. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, so what did I want to say? I attend I've been doing it for a number of months now. I attend a Wednesday night Ta'alim. And it's a group from just from 7 to 10, sometimes a little bit more, but right around 7 to 10 participants. And we have a couple that can actually read the Quranic Arabic. And this Ta'alim session has been reading the Quran from Al-Fatiha. We're on chapter, Surah 6 now. Surah 6. We've got to around 94 verses so far in Surah 6. But that particular meeting and other meetings where the Quran is mentioned, where Imam Muhammad mentions insights into the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad, those gatherings are very special. You know, God Most High speaks about that, you know, wherever believing men and women meet, and we call upon the name of Allah. We're trying to get a better understanding. And, you know, there's a saying that, you know, that home is understanding. Understanding of the soul is home. And when you have a grasp of something that's going to help you to be a better person, that is such a wonderful feeling and operation, you know, where you can apply something that will help you live your life better, help your family better, and the like. So, Bilal, if you'll press 1 again, okay, good. And then we'll come to Sister Martha Nile. I believe this is their number. Go ahead, Bilal. As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah. Wa alaykum as-salam. Praise be to Allah. I'd like to say something concerning Muhammad Sharif, too. Muhammad Sharif, he embodies what I feel that man should be as far as Allah wants to deal with. Whatever finance and going out there and paying respect to those who came before us and really going out there and taking care of business. So praise be to Allah, I love that. And my brother Kareem, I meet. I'm something like a man, Walter D. Muhammad. I consider most everything a blessing from Allah. Okay, so I was praying to Allah for a long. I said, oh Allah, I need some more. I'm not, you know, because I write. I really need some more. And I kept on hearing Imam Kareem Amin. He kept on talking about ethical society. He kept on, and he just kept on putting that out there. I said, where that brother getting that from? So I asked him. And that's when I was introduced to these books by Imam Ronald B. Shaheen. What I love and what really got me like I am today with that is the fact that these are directions that were left for us. And I have even heard Imam say that wow, I never heard that before. And I've been there almost to everything Imam where he was at speaking and everything. I got his lectures, but I never heard that before. Why? Because it was lectures and it was other different things that was given out to the believers. So praise be to Allah. This is something I wrote I just like to share. Knowledge that don't benefit a Muslim or a believer. It's a valuable asset to humanity. The creation is giving us prosperity because of our sincerity. Imam Walter D. Muhammad was utilized to guide us to our lives reality. There's a force in us that need to express our ability to grow and prosper. The best way to do it is to love and respect our lives and each other. We have obligations that are not being met. That's why when there's a need for money, we get upset. We have evolved in our spirit from a Muslim believer as children of Adam as a group. We are still being controlled and governed by the enemy. One is an open enemy. The other one is inside of you and me. Let us do some research on the cause of depression and anxiety. So much bottle up inside, it's hard for us to trust each other. There's a place for us. we must wholeheartedly call on Allah. We can't give up. We won't stop. We have information overload. Are we setting goals? What is hurting our soul? It's a pain and a hurt. We are struggling to keep our lives free. And let me tell you something. Let's ask Allah to utilize all of us. And tell Allah, Lord, Lord, please, just utilize me. And I don't, look, let me tell you something. You won't want for nothing. You might want for other people to have something, but you yourself, you'll find out many times you got a peace and you got a contentment. But you want that for everybody.
That's
it's,
right.
It's a global destiny we got to hook on to. And once you hook on to that, believe me, praise be to Allah. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes. Thank you. Alaykum as-salam. And we got we've got our executive director of Community Wide. State your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Martha Naila Abdullah, calling from St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Florida. Right here, Florida, right, Michael?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, just, when they think about, they say, oh, you live in Florida? I have a family member that lives in Florida. And they say, you might know them.
Yeah.
They live about 300 miles away. You go, okay.
That's human nature.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So, tonight I come in, but I it always is, and hearing Kareem, that's where I come in at, and you, and then now Bilal. But as my thinking was had occurred this morning, and constantly, and maybe it's just with me now, but constantly I'm focusing on, you know, being true to self. And I ask, how can I be true to self if I'm not thinking on my thinking? And my thinking, I ask myself the question, you know, where does my gin fit in? Where does it come in? You know, and I'm not speaking from a bad angle, but just from a suggestive angle, a suggestive
Explain
point.
That.
Okay, when I'm in conversation, and this is where it pricks me most, when I'm in conversation with someone and they say something and I say to myself, I want to contest it, and then, you know, it's like the hair rises on your neck kind of thing. It's not terrible, but you're so eager to correct and say, okay, well, I don't see it that way. I see it this way. But you're trying to prove your point, and then all of a sudden something says, you know what, how important is it to prove your point? You know,
I'm getting more of those kinds of experiences more and more. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I agree.
And I pulled myself back in check. Now, had I gone on, it would have become a contesting situation, which that's when my gin, I'm not thinking. You know, I just want to prove myself right. And I said, wow, look at that. So just asking myself that question, you know, thinking on my thinking. And of course, when something happens, like in the household, we had happened here was, who knew the toilet paper was about to, and we were at the last roll or something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you debate the
serious
issue? Or
no,
exactly.
You go get the toilet.
You just get on up and go buy some more. And so, you know, praise be to Allah. That's what my son did.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was ready to debate that. Okay.
No,
you know,
you
with
weren't.
Another house member. Yeah, it was. And something said,
right,
you know what, leave it alone.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. The gin could be in a very playful start-out way, but how many incidents have occurred in families where it becomes domestic violence or something, and it all started out of a simple conversation, and then one word triggered, and something else goes. So that's what I'm saying about Not everyone considers it the gin, but they believe that the more we understand, I believe that mental havoc that's wreaking us is because we're thinking that devilish mentality, I put it that way, that devilish mentality is somewhere else. Or
you know,
because I say I'm Muslim, I don't have the jinn. Okay. I'm there.
Yeah. No. The need to be right is a very, you know, and oftentimes when it's a compulsion, it's out
mm-hmm.
of, as I'm looking at it, it's out of insecurity. But so many people, you come, you know, that gin works. The gin is the urges and passions and weak thinking, because it's stronger to realize, you know, I don't have to prove myself to be right. In fact, let me practice mercy and just not speak, because if I may touch a sensitivity there, that can cause problems for me and the other person or persons, you know.
Mm-hmm,
so let me just,
mm-hmm.
act, you know, what they say, silence is golden. You know, it's a high commodity. Silence works so much in your favor, you know, except when you're on not just talking, you don't want to share.
I hear you.
I'm joking, but I'm serious. I'm serious too.
You tied the knot on that one.
The blessings, you know, you miss blessings, you know, and it stimulates. See, what I'm looking at it from the point of stimulating ideas. You don't know the thoughts that may have been invited up into your consciousness. Maybe something that will really spark some other listener to their consciousness be uplifted, you know. And this is a part of the dynamics of Shura. You can have a person that's not knowledgeable about the issue that's at hand in the Shura Benahum. They're those that know. But when you listen to them go back and forth in terms of probing for answers, it creates an environment where Allah is present. Allah established Shura. Allah established for us to meet and listen to one another express the Quran or the life of Prophet Muhammad to increase that energy. It's like an energy field that's established among the believers, with Allah being over that and supporting that with his angels. You know, it's a dynamic. It's really scientific when you look at it. But anyway, any further comment? We got another call.
Yes, and
here.
I was practicing something then, because many times I find myself, I'm listening, but I'm eager to answer because I'm holding on to an answer of something you said. And I said, you know what? I'm going to begin to just let it go. And so, alhamdulillah. Thank you so very much. As-salamu alaykum.
Now, when you say, wait. When you say let it go, what do you mean by let it go, you know? Let it go, how?
I let go the idea of thinking about the question and pay attention to what I'm hearing.
Okay. I thought you were saying, like, you know, you let something go, you know, you're firing something. I thought you might have been talking about sharing something that you were, that pricked
oh,
your
no.
consciousness.
That was it.
Okay, good. All right.
That was the sharing. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you. Alaykum as-salam. 914, this is Muhammad Sharif. Recall, welcome back. Are you on mute?
Oh, yes. What I was thinking about, I think early Imam Kareem was mentioning something about, he played Imam lectures, and you should take time out to really listen to it, not be doing some other things, to really take the time to listen. Don't have the man that's playing like in the background.
No.
You know, that's an excellent point you made there. And that is, you got a real valid point there. Okay.
Yes,
and then you're doing something else. I don't know if you got me. I'm painting a black background. No good.
But you know, Muhammad, this is something that I'm going to be sharing more. There's a book dealing with, I'm not sure if it's Lost Focus. Anyway, the author of the book is actually reporting on how, I'm not going to say it his way, how the devil, the shaitan, affects our ability to listen and to hear and to think below the surface, think a little deeper. There's an environment that Satan has created to get our attention, to fill up our thoughts in such a way that the quality of our thinking has been reduced. Now, when we become aware of this environment and we become aware, you know, like Sister Martha mentioned, thinking on our thinking, then we can prove upon that with the Lord's help, you know. And we should never leave out the fact that we need to ask Allah for what we need. You know, we need help in thinking more clearly and applying our thinking in our daily lives. We need to ask for that kind of help because that's what Allah is there for, to help the believers. Your thoughts.
You're correct. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Praise be to Allah.
No. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be only a few. Like you were saying, it's always been that way.
Yeah.
Always
That's
been
right.
just a handful. Just a few. I mean, like the Marines used to have a saying, only a few good men. You know?
That's
Remember
right.
that?
That's right.
And that's
yeah.
that's history. There's always been a few that
yeah.
really,
but you
that,
know,
that core group, you know?
Yeah. When Imam Muhammad first came into the leadership, after the passing of his father, he mentioned something. You know, you have to have, like, you know, we think about the noble people, his prophet's wife, Lady Aisha, Lady Khadija, Abu Bakr,
mm-hmm.
Umar, radiallahu anhu, and he mentioned historical mm-hmm. figures, Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass. Mm-hmm. To desire to be like these individuals, to not be them, to be copies of them, but to have that kind of spirit and commitment. And with that spirit and commitment, your understanding grows, your application grows. But you have to desire to want to be in that number, as the song says, when the saints go marching in. You have to want to be in that number. And
that's
the way
right.
the song goes.
Yeah, want to be.
I want to be in that number, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the power of choice, you know, it's very powerful in the life of a human being. People who are hypocrites can change their heart and their mind and become believers, you know.
That's
but
right.
you have to
yep.
really want it and you struggle for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be better. I want to be better. You know,
yeah.
I don't want my weaknesses to affect my children and my grandchildren and other people. I don't want my weaknesses to affect these relationships in a negative way. I want my interaction with my family and with associates and colleagues and members of the community. I want those interactions to be positive and constructive, you know? But you got to be conscious, and this world wants you to be unconscious.
Mm-hmm. And that other word I was looking at was disposition. See, everyone acts according, well, yeah, that's Quran.
Yes,
everyone
it is.
Acts according to his own disposition. So I was listening to that disposition.
Mm-hmm.
Dispose. What you have been exposed to, that's your disposition. However you've been raised, what you've been influenced, what has influenced you all your life, that's your disposition. And that's why I
yeah.
say those who think alike, you know, and come together, people who think alike, have the same interests, and all of that, y'all are willing to go to the whole distance. That's your disposition. And that's
yeah.
You know that word disposition. You know, that's what
yeah,
you've been disposed to. Well, that's powerful. What's your disposition?
I'm looking at some of the meaning here. Persons,
mm-hmm.
A person's inherent qualities of mind and character. Also the way in which it says something, but we could say it in the way in which people are placed or arranged, especially in relation to each other, you know, or
mm-hmm.
something that is placed or arrangement. The, what
mm-hmm.
else?
Temperament.
Temperament, putting
mm-hmm.
things in order, positioning, placement, you know, the quality of our thinking is helped by how we order our thoughts. And we've been given a help with that ordering of our thoughts and ordering of our priorities with the idea of Allahu Akbar, starting with God, that he's more important, he's bigger, he's greater, he's more important. And then how you order your priorities, you know, after that, your family, you know, and, you know, arranging, making an arrangement of those important things over those things that are less important. And like this old man, he may have been younger than me right now, you know, but this old man, when I was in my teens, he asked me if I wanted to know the secret of life. And I said, yes, sir.
Yes,
he
sir.
Said, the secret of life is knowing what you can do without. And I thought
mm-hmm.
about that. I thought about that in the context of our belief in Allahu Akbar. You know, it's parallel. You know, you got to see. Well, this is more important than this. I can do without this, but I got to have
mm-hmm.
that. You know, and prioritizing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the religion of Al-Islam does for us. We look at how people's lives are affected in the scripture in terms of how they prioritize their relationship, and particularly, you know, the power of their choice making, you know, the relationship with what's important to you, you know, what relationships are more needed than other relationships, you know. So, the book teaches us. The sacred book, Quran, guides, teaches and guides us. And it tells us about how we are on the inside, our psychology, you know, our thoughts and, you know, our urges, you know, and the like. We've got another recall, Muhammad. So press one
all
to
right.
go out and come back in. Yeah, we're going to go a little.
All right.
We're going to go a little overtime. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you. Imam Hamid, welcome back.
Yes, alhamdulillah. You know, Satan, he's an influencer. You know, Imam Muhammad gave us an explanation of what this meant when Moses' people were told that manna would come from heaven, but
yes.
they are to collect the manna before the sun rises. The Imam said that is pointing to the precious knowledge, the precious gifts that you are given by way of thought.
Mm-hmm.
Collect it, ingest it, conform to it before another thought enters your head, enters your thinking. Imam
mm-hmm.
Muhammad said, now you all are in a good spirit right now because we are all gathered here and I'm speaking to you. And we're sharing a frame of mind, a frame of thinking. He said,
yes.
But
the minute you leave here, another thought enters your head. You don't.
Yes.
Dissolve or water down what you have been given is watered down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mm-hmm. can ask someone, say, yeah, man, he really preached today. And you ask, well, what did he say? I don't know, but he really preached today. So we don't want to be like that. That's why it is important that we study, that we consciously set aside time to study what we have been given. And the purpose of studying it is to understand it and its usefulness and put it into practice. You know,
that's
so
right.
And so I'm grateful to hear that there are other groups that are holding study sessions of the addresses and lectures of Imam Muhammad. Very important. And let us not think, oh, well, he's been gone so long. You know,
I don't know how we can think like that, but I'm sure.
You'd be surprised. You wouldn't, because the imam had enemies sitting right there in front of him.
That's right.
And he would speak to that, say, you're jealous. I'm real, man. I see things as clearly as they are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so there are, like what one guy was going to say to the imam, yeah, that was a good talk you gave. I would grade that as a C.
Oh, brother, man, don't get me started with that.
The imam said, you don't have the qualifications grade my paper because you don't know as much as I know.
Yeah.
So we know that among us, there are people among us that was jealous of the Imam Muhammad. We know that.
Yeah.
But those of us that are grounded, we don't let them deter us, but we continue to try to deliver the message as plain and as clear as we can.
Yes.
And it's not just to hear it, to quote it.
No.
All right, I won't hold you long, but the Imam Muhammad said, look, just tell the people the truth. He said, you don't even have to mention my name. You don't even have to mention Allah. You don't have to mention the Quran. Just tell the people the truth.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Once you get a grasp of what the Imam is saying, and you see, if you study it, he's speaking from Scripture. In fact, he said that many times. I'm not speaking for myself. I'm speaking from Scripture. Well, if that's the case, then that belongs to everybody who loves Scripture. You know, it don't belong to Imam. You know, it belongs to the believers because it's from God, Scripture. You know, it's from the Word. So that's my way of looking at it. And I've heard the Imam say that. You don't have to mention his name, you know. Because on a personal note, I observed that the Imam was a special type of person in terms of he didn't need accolades. You know, I've been listening to this discussion on relationships, and I've been listening to this language And I don't necessarily pursue it, but I see some value in it. And the description of using the Greek letters to describe certain persons, and one of the persons, you know, this, you know, they in nature they identify animals that are leaders of their groups as alpha, the alpha male, you know. And then you've got the Greek letter beta, and sigma is a designation of those that don't need, you know, don't need to be in the spotlight. You know, they don't have a need to be in the spotlight. Their focus is on the principles or the particular job or you know the service to, I'm putting it, the service to God, with no need of getting any recognition, just doing your part. There are those like that. And even those who describe this idea of beta, in a negative way, beta is identifying, you know, I may not have as much as this one or that one, but I'm going to use what I have in service to God's will and plan, you know, and I'm willing to follow. And that's the value in those who have some kind of sense of business or sense of organizational integrity, like in the military. You know how to follow. You got a job description. You got a particular role to play, and you play that role, and you're not trying to be out in front, you know. So, you know, it's science and religion are coming together nowadays in a wonderful way. And any final comments, Imam? We got another recall.
Yes, sir. Just one small statement that the Imam made.
Please.
He said, "Now, some of you say you love me, that you're with me. I was with the Father. Now I'm with the Son."
Yes.
But they do not really have a firm understanding or grasp. That's just out of just a dedication.
Yeah.
He said, "Yep, some of you like that I crack jokes." Yeah, I love the Imam, boy. He be cracking those jokes.
Yeah.
He said, but more important is love the way I think. Let me say that.
Yeah. Again. Yes,
he
please.
Said, "Love the way I think. There is a pattern, a unique pattern of thinking that the Imam have introduced us to. And when we
That's
make
right.
those connections, we benefit. So once again, it's not just quoting. I mean, I know some guys, but they could just quote. And that's all it was quoting. That's not a sign that you are with Imam Muhammad,
yeah.
quoting him. It's not. It will be, how can I say, known in your thinking, your behavior, structured thinking. You know what I'm saying? It's just,
yeah.
So he was giving us a pattern of that we weren't even aware of. When we heard the Imam speak in the early years and beyond, we were amazed, because what
yes,
he was
sir.
Speaking on was sitting right in front of us.
Yes, sir.
And we never saw it like that. So there is a uniqueness, we have to accept that Allah gave Imam Muhammad a special gift. And I know that's hard for some people to grasp.
Well, it's
but
easier
Allah
to
gave
grasp.
Him a special insight. And you said that
with us. It's easier to see that, to grasp that, and to see the to see that if you connect. If you put the Imam in the frame, Imam Muhammad's frame as being as a desire to be a very good follower of Prophet Muhammad. You know, that came out so much in terms of, you know, his influence was that of one who was given everything that he could give, in my opinion, to be the best follower of Prophet Muhammad that he could be. And it came out in the fact that you didn't feel him really wanting you to look at him. He wanted you to look at the book and look at Prophet Muhammad. Praise and peace. That's the way I saw it. You know, Allah knows best. Yeah.
But also, you have to hear him because you know, his expression is emblematic of his following, the Prophet Muhammad. You know, how can I say this? He's a thought. Yeah, to praise be to Allah. He mentioned so much. Free thinkers.
Yes,
free
sir.
Thinkers. So Prophet Muhammad was more than just flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
He is a human condition. He's a human condition.
Mm.
And there was a pattern we can see Allah's Uswa when we truly look at the Quran in its proper context. In its proper context, we say we follow the Uswa of Prophet Muhammad.
That's right.
Well, where did the Prophet Muhammad get his Uswa from? He had it. He had it even prior to the coming of the Quran.
Yes.
Because he held on to his original human nature. And
yes,
Allah introduced him into another arena of thought, of thinking.
Yes, sir.
And
yes.
He became the Quran in thought and action. And
yes,
action.
Indeed.
So it's not the flesh and blood person and all of that. It's not. So I'll stop right there, and we're grateful that Allah blessed us.
Thank
praise
you, man.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Bilal, welcome back. We've got maybe another 5 minutes, so.
Okay, I'm gonna go right to the conclusion. Praise be to Allah. And in his book, this is Imam Muhammad concluded, and many of his books, they have similar conclusion too. This is what he says. We are living. Well, first of all, I'd like to say that whatever somebody give us, Imam Muhammad left them for us. That's our inheritance. But you're supposed to improve on the inheritance. Praise be to Allah for that. So here we go.
That's right.
We are living the conclusion of things. The man connect all around the world, and its material system become one global system where they all have to do business together. They have to have some law over them. As a result, we now have a global law regulating things. We have a global material reality. So the world is connected. Once the world connects like that, it is the end of time. They can no longer go on keeping these secrets. They have to be exposed. God is bringing it against them. He is going to expose everything so that everybody will be on the same footing. Praise be to Allah. We have the Quran. We have the spirit of the Quran. Don't forget that Allah wants the good of this world for his servants. And the servant will exclusively the hereafter. Go ahead on and go get it.
Thank you. Alaykum as-salam. Dear listeners, we thank you for joining us with another episode, another edition of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. We appreciate you joining us. And inshallah, we'll have Imam Rana Shahid next week as our guest. We're going to make a dua. I wanted to use the English focus supplication, and we're going to close out with that. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Oh Allah, we cannot manage this life for ourselves, not without you. Make our life what you want it to be, what you prefer it to be. Do not allow us to act on our own. Help us to act only in obedience to you. We hear and we obey. Dear audience, thank you so much for joining us. Look to see you and hear you. We'll hear you next Thursday at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, and 5 o'clock Pacific time. We greet you with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum.